Yes. Not so notable trainers in Portsmouth.
NSNT, baby.
NSNT.
It's going to be vibes, though.
NSNT. Love that.
If it's going to be vibes for definitely.
As if in like months, the first community that I'm playing is Squirtle. What is happening?
Sort your life out, Coops, please.
Oh. We'll talk about it after recording, but I've come up with a point system for this challenge that we can do.
Oh, the challenge is going to be lit.
It'll be really funny for us to do.
How open are you two to getting dunked if you fail the challenge?
I'm not going to get drenched and be like, oh, sodder, I'm drenched. Now I'm trying to do the rest of the day.
Oh, no. It'll be like end of the day outside the hotel so you can run in quickly and change.
We're thinking like ice bucket.
Oh, that just goes over your head, an ice bucket anyway, doesn't it?
Some of it will go in your clothes, but yeah, pretty much it's like over the head.
Depends what the temperature is in. If it's raining and it's cold down there, then yeah, I'll be
up for it. There'll be no difference. So, well, we all lose.
I'm okay with it. We're not going to lose anyway, so it doesn't really matter whoever's team I'm on.
Team football.
Oh, here we go. So we've agreed the teams already then.
You'll love it.
Now, Milo's idea was, and he messaged me, what was it, yesterday?
Yeah.
Team Petrolheads versus...
Footy Hooligans.
Team soccer.
Soccer. Maybe we'll have to have that in brackets or something so people know what you're talking about.
To be fair, I'm down with anything, boys. You know,
it would just be really good fun because, yeah, as Coop says, it's Squirtle.
Joke aside, I'll pack a lead shirt down with me, mate. So if you want to bring your Palace shirt, we can
I can do, bro. I'll wear...
Do a half and half. Leeds and Incense podcast blended together.
Yeah.
I'll wear my away one because obviously we're going away. I'm leaving Croydon, so...
Yeah, I'll do the same then. I'll wear my away one as well. Nice. Cool. Done. Tonight on episode 126, unlike Niantic's hard-working community leaders, the Quad are here as one for our awesome community. And we're also on the South Coast chasing Squirtle as this episode drops. Welcome to Incense Podcast. Guys, we're a Quad again. How are we all doing?
It's only been a couple of times this year, it feels.
What are you talking about, Milo?
Well...
I feel like I need to reintroduce myself. Hi, everyone. I'm Casual Coops.
Welcome back.
I was going to say,
become reacquainted.
I don't know whether it's because Mark didn't say who was here or whether I've been away for so long. I don't know what.
You know what? He didn't.
Should we go around and do a little introduction of who you are?
Yeah, hi, Casual Coops. I'm the casual of the group.
Hang on. We had somebody do a WhatsApp message last week that sounded a lot like you.
Swear down.
Really? Yeah. I just now thinking about it.
I'm swearing up.
I've only listened back to last week's episode. Definitely weren't me, though. I don't know what you're talking about.
He was from space, wasn't he, though? He sounded quite
from space. He didn't like the ginger one.
Which is interesting, since there's a resemblance to Sam Ryder, who did Spaceman for Eurovision.
Sam Ryder, yes!
That's a callback.
Let's go back to Seville, wasn't it, Milo?
Oh, here he goes. Do not get them started. Oh my God.
I'm quite smug because this is, I think, my fourth episode in a row. So I'm feeling quite like a veteran now. Ian, is that right? Am I a veteran after four?
You're doing better at keeping your position on the show.
You're improving.
Wait, so who are you lot then? Are we not reintroducing ourselves?
Oh, yes, sorry. Yeah. So continuing on, I'm Pogo Marley UK. I'm very much not the casual of the quartet.
Di-di-ding.
I'm Ian Wardfall. I'm here every week and I'm... Yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm here every week.
<Di-di-ding>.
Chill out, Sam. I know what you're up to over there.
It's all right, spaceman.
Yeah, and I'm obviously Mark. And for our amazing listeners listening, we are all here again. So I know you were all upset last week, but don't worry.
They definitely weren't upset that I wasn't there.
But you know what? Actually, whenever you're not here, the listening figures go up.
Do you know what's funny? Because I looked yesterday and they actually do, don't they? I've already noticed that. To be fair, I have said that before. Like I said, I'm not going to repeat myself, but I've not listened back to last week's. But when I do, well, however many times I've been away now, 7-8 times, I genuinely prefer this podcast without me. And I'm not just saying that. From the bottom of my heart, I truly mean that. But can we not do a poll? Because that will really hurt my
feelings. That's what the WhatsApp person said last week.
Yeah, see? God,
get rid of the ginge. That's what we said.
God,
get rid of the ginge.
That's a bit gingerist, isn't it?
Gingerist.
But we are very much a diverse podcast, as you will already know.
Definitely diverse.
Diverse.
Yeah, we've got somebody with grey hair, ginger hair.
A bit less hair.
Proceeding.
And a foster hair.
Smoochum.
Smoochum. It was literally like our eyes linked, and I was like, what can I say? And I was like, receding. You were like, bolting. Excellent. Excellent banner.
From Croydon to the Midlands, your mind's connected.
Yeah. Yep.
Or as has been said in the chat, four white dudes with facial hair.
That's not what we're going for.
Milo, you've got... Milo, is that facial hair? Have you got some...
No, it's
Milo.
A filter.
It will be facial hair when it actually fills in, Mark.
Oh. That's a foul. How dare you?
Milo. Oh, can you tell we're padding?
Anywho, I think we should move on now. So for our amazing listeners that are still here, because Coops is obviously on this episode, throw down your incenses.
Pop your incenses, champions. Let's go.
And we're sending you all the good stuff. All that luck, all that shiny, that hundo, that nundo, that shalundo, the shenundo, all that luck your way.
Squirtle.
I would squirtle luck, yeah. Whilst listening to the podcast, please share your successes with the world famous hashtag Shiners of the Week.
Could you clarify that spelling?
I sure can, Holly. It is Shiniesofthewek.
Now, Mark, I need to interrupt you here. In the chat, Pogo Milo UK's designer has aptly said there will be a Pogo Milo UK Baby Milo t-shirt coming in the Pogo Milo UK store soon.
I do not give my consent. So get stuffed.
And we will all be buying them.
See us at London.
Anywho, where are we, boys? Where
and
are
now,
we?
Oh, children, yeah. It's time for Getting to Know You with the Incensed Podcast.
That's where we are.
Vassifol, you are a wind-up merchant. Coops, let's jump into the Pokemon Go.
He's done it now, but Pokemon Go, has. Goodness.
Where's well, the... yeah.
To be fair, in Ian's defence, usually we're not going into the Pokemon Go goodness, but tonight we are going into the Pokemon Go goodness because the Getting to Know You question is, boys, which Pokemon design do you dislike the most and why?
We haven't done a Pokemon-focused Getting to Know You question in how long?
Since week 7.
6 months or hell. So. Earlier in the year.
Madness. I'll happily jump in first, having done a little bit of research. Obviously, checked out the show notes like a true professional. Actually, just scrolling straight through the Pokédex before we record. I've come across this one, and it's from Unova, and it's Mushana.
Oh, it's not the one I picked.
Oh, bro, on my mum's life, and I swear this, I've changed mine, but that was my original one, and I'm not just
was
saying
it?
That. Yeah, yeah, I swear oh, no to God, way. Bro. Because I was having a little scroll, and I was like, ugh, that umbilical cord is just annoying.
That's what I mean. It looks like a placenta.
Yeah.
Sorry. Somebody came up with this and thought, yes, that's a great piece of work. It's an abomination. I mean, Munna is sort of okay.
It's okay.
You know, but then, yeah, as Coop says, it grows an umbilical cord out of its face. It's like a levitating baby pygmy elephant with an umbilical cord stuck on it. It's really odd and disturbing, and I genuinely despise it.
I think you're going to win that tonight because, yeah, like I said, on my life, I was actually going to choose that one. But then I finished my scroll, and there was that one and one or two others, but I picked the design that I hate the most. Now, the reason why I picked this one is because it starts off incredibly cute, and then it evolves into, I just don't know what happened, and I don't get it. But my pick for the poll tonight, the Pokemon design that I dislike the most has got to be the one and only Stoutland.
Oh,
that's an interesting shout.
And to be fair, it's just below Mushana.
That's another another Gen 5.
Yeah, I just don't know. It went from Lillipup to like a real dog, and then it just grew this moustache that I don't really know. I just absolutely, like Milo, I hate it. So that is Stoutland without a doubt.
Mine is, and I thought one of you would have definitely picked this. Similar story to Coop's, actually. It starts off with quite a nice, cute little Pokemon, and then mine evolves into Beware. Which is the most stupid looking, boring, looks like a 5-year-old drew it. Seriously. It is absolutely terrible. And whoever designed it, like the whole black and 2/3 of the body and then just like a head. And it literally, you know what it looks like? It actually looks like a headache pill with legs.
It does actually. Ian.
What generation is it, Ian? Remind me.
7.
Yeah, so
Alolan.
Alola, yeah.
something funny.
Go on.
I've not even got it on my ponytail. He hasn't got it.
That's jokes.
Because I was trying to find it and I was thinking, what's that shadow? That's
there, there it is, Coops.
It?
There
yeah.
it is.
Yes, there.
Yeah.
Oh my days!
Yeah, actually, I agree. Yeah,
you're
with
right.
You. Yeah, 5 year old.
It just looks like a really badly drawn sort of upright red panda. You know those animals.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Ian. I know what you mean.
I think there's going to be more competition tonight than we thought.
This could be quite good. Yes, Carl Markey, what's your pick?
Mine's very similar to your storyline, but I don't understand the journey of the evolution on this line. I understand the concept, like Coops has gone, you've got a cute little puppy, then he goes to a dog, then it goes to a moustache, whatever the hell it is. It's gone beyond it. But my one, when you see it on paper, you'll go, I don't understand why you've picked that. But this family goes from one, you see it, it gets to one at the end, you go, yeah, I get it. But the one in the middle, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense in how it would evolve. So Larvitar, I understand the concept of something being a cocoon, but Larvitar ain't that. Larvitar's a little dude, right? That's born underground. It's a rock Pokemon, rock skin Pokemon there, Larvitar. And it goes to Tyranitar, which is a pretty wicked, I'm
and
a
full
grown Larvitar. And there's resemblance. But where does puberty come into this?
You know what, Mark? I'll give you that. I remember when I first started playing Pokemon Go, and that was at the time, God, whenever it was, 2018.
Like the super rare one, yeah.
Yeah, and that was the hyped Pokemon, like the Gible of 2019, whenever it was. And I never used to like the shiny either. It just didn't make sense. Like none of it was
solid purple.
Yeah, none of it. But no, that's a good shout. Oh man, that's a
that's
tough
an interesting
poll.
Shout, actually. Yeah.
Well done, guys. And the reason I say well done is I thought we were going to go down the line of Pidove because it's a pigeon. No thought there.
That's the London Pokemon.
Pokemon of London.
That is the Pokemon of London.
I thought Delphox was.
Well, let's see what the people think about that. Let's get into a discussion. We've just had the Dark Flames. Well, the Dark Flames fake came and went, didn't it? Like, we recorded the podcast to talk about it. And by the time it came out, it was finished. So it was quite a short event last week.
Well, last Thursday, Dark Flames was a very short four-day event that came into Pokemon Go. It released the shiny Turtonator, as we talked about last week.
Turtonator.
And, of course, Mega Sableye. You know, it's one of Koops' BFs.
Sorry to cut you off, Ian. Did you not see it was really funny that we dropped the Turtonator episode with all the stupid jokes in it? And then like,
I know what
a
you're
day or
say.
Two later, I saw on Twitter, it was the anniversary of the release of T2 Judgment Day. Like, what are the odds of our show being the most recent one with Turtonator in there? That's funny.
I unfortunately didn't get to play it as much as I would have liked to have done Thursday, Friday. Saturday and Sunday, I was out in force. The Turtonator raids, I thought, and correct me, you guys, they didn't seem that common.
Yeah.
I wasn't seeing that many, which was quite concerning, considering obviously it was available in the Win 3 raids task and people would have been raiding.
Let's not talk about that.
To get it. I enjoyed the event. There were some good spawns. It was a good, nice event. It was fun, and a couple of new chasers in there. Coop's favourite, Heatran, with its new move, which again makes it pretty viable with Magna Storm. I kind of enjoyed the event. I'll go on record, and I know we're going to flex. I did...
Well, we weren't, but now we are.
I did 30 encounters with Turtonator and did not even get the shiny, which, again, not massive amounts, but for like a day and a half's play, I wasn't overly concerned. It would have been nice.
I've got to agree for sure. We've got Campfire now, you know, globally available, and scouting for raids, they were really, really hard to find. I was out day one for, you know, whenever it dropped, Thursday or Friday, I forget. I think it was Thursday. And there wasn't a Turtonator raid anywhere in the nearby, like literally the entire section of West London, not just like, oh, my local gym cluster, for near enough 3 hours. And I only saw two across the whole thing. And it's may not just be Turtonator raids, because I just noticed there was a general lack of raid spawning completely.
So many empty gyms with no raids on for the whole weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it was 4 hours before a Mega Sableye popped in the area. I'm like, bloody hell, it's half an hour walk to get to it. And you think, great that we've got Campfire, but it kind of shows the problem that there are so many dead gym spots constantly. It's mental. As for the encounters, I think I did even less than you, Ian, because I just got bored of the event very quickly. The win three raid task really hacked me off, because if you were playing free pass only, during the event window, you could get you the grand total, three quest checks and three raids, and yeah. That's it, you're done. And you've got to remember, you're stacking them, so you're sacrificing two stamps or something like that to do three checks if you find three tasks. Whoever thought win three raids on a 4-day event has a hole in the head, seriously.
I don't have an issue with that task if the raids are there to be done. If
and it's just the fact that it was 4 days as well.
Yeah.
The other research tasks were kind of like, meh, I mean, catch five or wherever it was, catch five dark or fire Pokemon. You had the split research, was you chose if you just wanted to catch fire or dark.
Which did you go?
I went dark type, which was a really stupid mistake in the end.
Oh. I went fire, straight away it was no contest.
There was a point in the research where you had to purify a dark type Pokemon, and I didn't have any in my storage, and it was about 5 hours before I found a dark type grunt. So I'm wilting to death waiting for this. I know that in reality, the event's 4 days long. People can take their sweet time on doing the special research. It's not a rush, but obviously I've got to rush it and do it in a day. The grunts weren't really spawning. I know it's not part of the event, but hey, you put Purify a Pokemon in there. Give us some grunt spawns that are focused on that event. And I have to say, the spawns, to be honest, I didn't really care for them too much.
Surprising. I thought there were some good spawns in there. I didn't need anything, but there were some good spawns.
Kind of the same. I just saw a blizzard of Vulpix.
Oh, that constantly. Was that was the one and only shine I got was Vulpix.
What did I get? Oh, I got a Houndoom off of Incense Podcast. What?
I was literally about, sorry to interrupt, Milo. I was literally about to say, for the 3 minutes that I played it, Vulpix everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere.
And then the ones that couldn't be shiny, which was Litten and something else. And I was just like, you know what? You're okay. You know, sort of a Coop's response of like, I don't really need these Pokemon. I don't really care for them too much. And in that respect, 4-day event came and went. I was very glad to leave it behind, to be honest. Mega Sableye, thank God it's cheap. It's 100 Mega Energy Pokemon to a Mega
Evolve. I've done one Mega Sableye raid, and that is all I will be doing, because it's not actually that good a Mon.
It's not a good Mon. It's only good for boosting certain things, really.
Yeah, so I got my 200 Mega Energy. I'll evolve one of each potentially, and that'll be me done.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed with the Turtonator raids.
Say it properly.
Oh, Turtonator. Is that it? Turtonator. It's actually a really decent shiny. Probably one of the things that made it really, like, I was quite tempted. I really wanted to try and get it, but I was busy, as we all are, you know, and these short events, if there's not many raids then popping up, then you're not going to be able to raid for it.
I was, and I actually ran out of my five remote passes. All 4 days, I actually did all of my five remotes.
It's not hard, though, is it?
The first time in a long time where I've actually been raiding.
I got 16 encounters, and I haven't got a shiny. I have actually got to do another raid. I've stacked up three tasks, which I've still got, that I need to do the raids on, so they will be my last three chances until it reveals itself in raids further down the line. But no, I didn't get any shinies from the event. But my highlight was hatching my first ever Larvesta, or as Milo, I like the name of it, was Beer Vesta.
Lagavesta.
Lagavesta. And like, I hatched it when I was at the beer festival Saturday night. And I was like, oh my God, what's this? I was like,
oh! Waited long enough for it. Woo!
I like Mega Sableye. It's a beautiful design, but unfortunately, it's just not a very good
as far
Pokemon
as it goes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you sweat a little bit on the research task? I mean, I was obviously doing little bits every day, so I didn't finish it off till the last day. Over the weekend, you could get your hat for doing the battle day, which was quite forgiving. You had to do 10 battles, wasn't it, in the end, to get it? But do you like the 4-day events? It got me thinking a bit more about this. Do we like those 4-day events?
I do like
over
a short
weekend
event. Because, let's face it, there wasn't a lot in it. If you dissect it, realistically, it was the shiny hunt for the Turtonator.
I'm probably like a 50-50 on it. Like, if it's a good event, I don't see why it doesn't run for 6 or 7 days. But this event, I thought, was quite lackluster. So 4 days was kind of good. If you wanted to chase Turtonator, you could.
Turtonator.
I think I only did like a handful of quest checks and a handful of raids equally and didn't get the shiny. And I was like, that was the new focus, wasn't it? New shiny and the raids and quests.
That's what it was.
Go for it.
Yeah.
So I played the 1 day of it and then really didn't give it a second thought, to be honest.
Wow. So as a content creator, and we all create content, I get it, but you know, this is something like new event, new shiny. Was it literally the sparsity of raids that really put you off it? Because if they were everywhere, you would have been all over that.
If you could
guessing
chase something, that's sensible to a degree. I'm not asking for them to be on every single gym like a raid hour, but the fact that I walked for an hour and did some stupid amount of kilometers just to find two raids.
That's mad, isn't it? In Ealing as well. Like a
I walk a lot. I'm familiar with it. The average Pokemon Go player who's, you know, got a daytime job, can't get out to do raids, etc., won't be able
That's
to do
not
the raids
average. The average is a Singaporean grandmother.
I was waiting for That's that. What, well,
they may be busy doing other bits and pieces.
Singaporean grandmother doesn't have a job. She's too busy.
No.
Well, they only log in for 20 minutes, apparently, so they'll log in, exactly. Notice there are no raids, and turn off again. The combination of the... If they're going to do a lack of raids, make the quest a bit easier to do so you can do the quest. There were plenty of quests around. That was the thing.
And let's be fair, there was a fair amount of raids that just weren't the Tortinator. They were...
Not on my
Mega
end, genuinely.
They were Heatran.
I genuinely say on my end, I don't know whether it's just the area of London being dead, but for that whole event, the raid spawn was rubbish, even including shadows and stuff. It's just very, very dead. I didn't see more than maybe four raids across 20 gyms at one time.
I think it was a bit of a weird time, though, and I apologise again. This was the event where the radius, didn't it? You got like another 900 Pokemon on the map. It was, So for me, because obviously you've all asked me what I think, so I'm going to tell you.
Oh, yeah, I knew we forgot something.
I did apologise, Coop. Sorry, mate.
No, I'm messing.
Do you feel like you want a competition, Coops, to be on the show with
us? Bro, I feel like one of our listeners that like tweet us every week, like, please let me on. And I'm like, yay, I'm here. But yeah, no, so I thought, obviously, Mega Sableye, amazing. Always love a Mega. Can't wait for T-Tart. That's confirmed, isn't it?
Yeah, that's confirmed.
Yeah. Obviously, shout out my boy, Pokedaxi. Can't wait to see you in London, bro. Looking forward to that. And I'm not trying to be that guy, because even though like life is crazy, busy, whatever, that's no excuses to say that I've not played for a week. But genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, the remote raid nerf has like really killed quite a lot of enthusiasm for me. Like the five raids a day is genuinely quite soul destroying for me. So it's kind of like by the time you've done a few Mega Sableye and one or two Heatran, all right, you're finished. On to the next day. Then the next day you're busy, so you can't play. So like for example, if I wanted a Hundo Heatran and do a few Mega Sableyes and that, like I can only do a maximum of Heatran raids. So it's just and I used to love raiding, so it's just hard for me to sort of actually play the game because that raiding, that remote raiding, when I'm playing and I constantly get invited, I could join. That was a huge part of how I played the game for a huge percentage of sort of December, January, February, March. So when that kind of got ripped away, I was just a bit of a, I wasn't sure. So yeah, I didn't do too many. What is it? Damn it. What are we saying? I'll be honest, Milo, your accent's mad. Your accent's great. I'll be honest. I'm not even going to try it. But
the best thing that came out of my film school education.
Good. So yeah, so to be honest, I think I maybe did like three or four turds. Like I didn't really do, I didn't do that many, but I'm like you, Ian. I thought as an event, yeah, only a few days, but I thought it was decent. I genuinely played it. I played it a little bit and I thought it was decent. But yeah, I'm just really trying to get back in. I'm really hoping GoFest, the global and the London really gets me back into the game. I'm really struggling at the moment, if I'm being completely honest, with the remote raid nerf. I'm struggling to get really back into the game how I was at the start of the year.
That's a nice conversation. I like that, actually. I think, joking aside, that was quite a nice one, wasn't it? I think that was probably for quite a short event. That was it. Got very different
conversation. Our conversation is longer than the event.
Jinx.
<Yeah. laughs> Yes. Snitching.
Jinx, smitching. Let's move on. Do you know what? He hasn't rightly got the title, but I think, what should we call him, Ian? What title should we bestow him? Mr. Game? What do you call him? Ginger Gamer? I don't know. Ginger
Gamer. A couple of gingers.
Sorry, Kate. But no, we're going to let our boy Coops host the games. He loves games, and he might love it so much. He'll do another one later if we're lucky. Chasing the tail,
tail to chase, it's chasing the tail. Damn, I feel like this has been ages, but yes, everybody, welcome into Chasing the Tail. I'm definitely going to get this part wrong, but Chasing the Tail is basically where we say Pokemon. So what happens is the aim of the game, first of all, let me get the rules and regulations out of the way. You are not allowed to repeat any Pokemon that any of the trainers say throughout the whole game. And secondly, you cannot hesitate for too long, because if you do one of these two things, you will hear a... But basically, the whole point of this, you're going to be chasing the tail of the Pokemon that said before
nice.
You. So for example, if I say the Pokemon Mewtwo, because my Pokemon ends with the letter O, the person that's up next after me
nice.
Has to say a Pokemon that starts with the letter O. And that is basically how the game continues and continues and continues, etc., etc. So today's order is going to be me, Casual Coops, then Pogomilo UK, then Ian Waterfall, and then Masterful 27. Boys, are we ready for round one?
Let's rock and roll.
I betcha.
Milo, your Pokemon is Stoutland.
Deoxys.
Sableye.
seconds.
Scizor.
Rattata.
Ampharos.
Swaddle.
Eevee.
Electabuzz.
Zebstriker.
Riolu.
Does it end in an R?
I think it ends in an A.
A.
Why do you do that?
Why do I do that?
He's out.
Oh, no.
I'm going for hesitation there, and you're going, does it end in that letter? You fucker.
Good reflection.
It is. He's good, yeah. Isn't he? He's good.
Zebstriker ends with an A, indeed.
Well done. Nice one, Ian. So I'm going to start with Bulbasaur.
Riolu.
Unknown.
Nidoqueen.
Nidoking.
Golurk.
Kecleon.
Nidoran.
Noivern.
Nice.
Ninetales.
Scyther.
Reshiram.
Mimikyu.
You know I don't know what this ends in. I hate you. I hate you so much, bro. You're actually the biggest scuba diver on the planet. I swear to God.
Biggest scuba diver.
That's a compliment. Thank you.
What was the point of that? I struggled with that one a few weeks ago. What does it end in? Mimikyu.
You.
What? I hope you got everything you wanted out of that. Right. Anyway, up next.
You know, I got a feeling of pleasure out of that.
Mm.
Just seeing you squirm.
See you squirtle.
Squirtle.
For the final Pokemon UK, your Pokemon is Munna.
Alakazam.
Oh, we'll give you that.
Wait, sorry. You're in charge of the soundboard, and just because you want to win, you just put that on as a hesitation.
No, I gave him. I've got Mushana.
You are disqualified. You're out. Ian, you're out. You're done. Give yourself the soundbite. Give yourself the soundbite.
Love it, Ian.
All right. So for the second time, Milo, your Pokemon is going to be Munna.
Axew.
Wishy-washy.
No, you're bad. Illumise.
Espeon.
Nincada.
Alakazam.
I'm definitely out on that one.
It's horrible to get to that point, isn't it, Milo?
There's so many Pokemon beginning with M. Where's the correct sound effect, sir? Come on.
Noise.
Thank you.
Well done, Ian, mate. Well done. Congratulations.
The title of Sergei must be yours again.
Well, technically, it should have been this week, but we'll skirt around that.
By the way, all jokes aside, I'm actually really proud of us. I feel like that's the longest we've done it in a while.
Stamina.
Three massively boosted stamina rounds. Stamina specialists.
Stamina king, yeah, that's specialist, what we are. Yeah. So I think it's only right we go into something a bit less fun. Let's go into...
Is the news.
And of course, the big news in the last week is about the Niantic Organizational Update, as it was titled, talking about the immediate effect of 230
employees
being let go
have been made
with a letter from Mr. Hanky to
everybody.
It's been a while since we've had that one. He didn't start the email like that. It
How
is
do you
a
know?
Very
Did you get
long.
Howdy ho, Milo. Howdy ho.
It's online, mate. You can see everything that's written.
You've got to read that in Mr. Hanky's voice.
I can do it in Arnold's voice. That
we know you
that
can.
Could work. That could work. What does this mean for the Niantic moving forward?
You're really good at that. That's really odd. Why? There's that and
Herbert from Family Guy. That's about as far as I go.
Nice.
Where to begin with this? There are lots and lots of points about a variety of things. I guess top line is they're adjusting the strategy on the back of a few things. One of the biggest points was they've overreached their spending in regards to how they're doing in terms of revenue. and the return to pre-COVID revenue has caught them by surprise. So they've canned the Marvel game they were working on, and there was another project they've canned as well.
NBA All-World is going to be retired.
That was it. So NBA All-World is being shut down.
Yep. Cricket will be upset about that one, wouldn't she?
She will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a shame.
Anyway.
I guess diving into the actual Pokemon Go, since that's what we do.
Well, Pokemon Go, the article does say, and I might be paraphrasing, it's their priority.
The top priority is to keep Pokemon Go healthy and growing as a forever game. While we made some adjustments to the Pokemon Go team, our investment in the product and team continues to grow.
I find that hard to believe based
and
on...
And then we saw the vast majority of the community managers have got the axe.
You.
Axe you, yeah. Aside from that, we don't know personally who else has been let go.
No, and if we think about it, 230 employees, that's a sizable proportion of their actual entire workforce.
Yeah, it is a lot. I did see somewhere that quite possibly by chance, this time last year, almost I think to the exact day, there were similar layoffs in 2022 around the end of June from Niantic,
okay.
Which is interesting to say the least.
Okay, I'm going to be that guy. I'm just going to go straight
for it.
Okay. Pokemon Go is their priority. They've let, that we know of, possibly more, two community managers. So we've got one of the US community managers, Tyler, and the EU sort of slash community managers who, Dominic. Both big parts of the game. I think there's Kestrel that's left. I don't know if the APAC community manager managed to survive the call.
Yeah, I haven't seen.
That, for a company that's has been massively investing in Pokemon Go, letting go two of your community managers, to me, doesn't make sense. And obviously, and that's not taken away from the other 228 people that have gone. Two of your community managers for a game that is supposedly your priority? Seriously?
When we know that communication in terms of Niantic is perhaps not the best as
yes.
well. It was a surprise in some way, but perhaps not in others. And I don't know, we just have an open sort of discussion about it and what we think about it. My initial thoughts of reading this was sort of a big facepalm when they were talking about we didn't foresee the revenue returning to pre-COVID times when we are sort of out of the pandemic.
Well, the pandemic was 3 years ago. I mean, we came out of the pandemic stage, 18 months ago?
Well, they've made very, very significant changes to their main priority game. And let's be honest, Pokemon Go has 10 or plus more times the downloads versus the rest of their games. If you make changes that impact the way that people play and the way that people can spend money in the game so that you go back to pre-COVID times and style of playing, why has it caught you out that suddenly you're not getting the same amount of revenue that you were? I mean, we know that the profits from Pokemon Go were the highest, I think, in 2020. We know that the remote raid pass thing, Koops was talking about it earlier in regards to an event. We've talked about the increased spawn radius, and then since that, I think they've done the quickest ever patch update to fix it I've ever seen. Yeah. But then they've patched the way you can see Pokemon, but within that they haven't patched other things like the Pokemon now stack on top of each other so you don't have spawns removed once they despawn. So if you have the game open for long enough, you end up with stacks of Pokemon on one spawn point. And it's things like that you think, I don't personally see that what they're saying in this article or what John Hankey's saying, Pokemon Go being a top priority, is true, particularly when you're letting community managers for the game go, when you've got GoFest coming up around the corner. I know there's more to the GoFests than just a community manager, but they're an integral part of it.
Well, that's probably a good thing to go into, because the timing of this with GoFest, literally, what, 5 weeks away?
London's 4 weeks away.
Well, it was 5 when this happened, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, 5 weeks away when this happened. Yeah, you're right.
What compelled somebody to lay staff off that close to a confirmed, pretty much finished event? Surely they would need these community managers at these events.
Exactly. And the thing is that you can't surely have been caught out by surprise at such short notice of this thing. From where I'm standing, it feels almost like they've looked at the bank balance and gone, oops.
It was only a few weeks ago they were saying how well the game was doing. And
well, that was it. There was the whole article and they were calling it fake news about how their profits were massively down in April or then May versus relative to March
February. Pokemon Go might be doing well. It could be the other games that are affecting their revenues as a company.
Possibly. Like, they do mention in this that other games have not brought in the amount of revenue that they suspected, and I think that's probably related to Peridot.
Well, it is, because basically you can't do anything in Peridot without spending money.
Well, so it's £5 a nest.
Yeah, all you can do is spend money, isn't it?
Yeah.
£5, £4.99 for a nest. It's everything is...
Well, lads, and it's a terrible game. But anyway,
be fair, I believe in the beta, somebody was telling me that you could actually get components and make nests in the beta, which means it wasn't as heavily monetized. And if that was a function of the game now in Peridot, it would be a lot more fun because I enjoy playing it. I enjoy doing the tasks, but there's no way on earth they're going to get me to spend £5 on a nest just to get another Peridot. I'm sorry, I've got better things to spend money on.
It's some just real quick.
Raids.
Yeah, no, all jokes aside, I'm only joking. I've Giratina O? No, but listen, I've never played Peridot, so I can't judge it. I'm only joking. But all I will say, let's just average it up, $50,000, you know, times by 230 people. You're looking at over $1 million on an annual salary. It's quite a lot of money. Mm, obviously, I don't know what salaries they're on. Could be on more, could be on less, could be on way more. But if you look at, you know, between 11 and 12, $13 million they're saving a year, I'd say that's a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely.
All I will say, and not just for Niantic, I think for anybody to be made redundant, especially it seems like on a really
short notice,
really. That's what it feels like.
I've been made redundant literally at short notice.
So for everyone around the world, it sucks and there's nothing good about it. So like I said, I want to apologise to the Niantic employees. It just unfortunately happens.
And that's the reality of the thing. We're talking about this in the respect of Niantic and the game that we love to play, but people are shocked going, oh, I can't believe Niantic have done that. This happens all the time, all across the world, that these companies downsize, they have changes to the leadership, that it's not anything new.
I definitely think it's weird, the community managers, with all the events coming up in August, it seems like it's really weird.
That's
it seems like it's
yeah.
It's just like, all right guys, thanks, bye. But at the same time, you know, not to sound awful and to sound horrible, because I've got no idea, but I'm just saying, maybe to Niantic as a company, these employees just didn't bring enough value, and sort of when they created the roles or they made the roles, they thought that it was going to be a little bit more or affect it in this way or help out in that way, and it's just not done it. So they've just sort of said, look guys, there's 11 12 13 million here that we're spending that we kind of, it's not really sort of helping
we
us.
We can't
so,
anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So and just, yeah, if you look back, what, maybe even 2 or 3 years, Liz was the only community manager for a long time in Pokemon Go.
And you were saying very quickly, the team massively expanded.
Yes, yeah.
But I do find it scary because the game has got so many bugs and so many glitches and so many issues and the community's got such a loud voice. And I really do believe that 230 people is a lot of people. That's a lot of people. So what does worry me is that they're now going to have this huge workload put onto the rest of the employees.
Yes,
so there could be
exactly.
More bugs, more issues. We're going to get ignored even more. They're not going to care about our anymore.
But we've
crisis
got staff and engineers from two games that have been thrown in the bin.
You know,
well,
it's crazy.
It was mostly apparently the LA department or area that got the boot, shall we say. But I just want to run this fact by you and then maybe pose a question with a phrase. Niantic have tried to make gaming IPs that have failed for Harry Potter with Warner Brothers, which died, Transformers, which never got off the ground, and now Marvel has been canned. Those are three enormous IPs in the entertainment media space, and they flunked them all. You think, that's not a good repertoire.
Well, they're building everything on that same sort of engine, aren't they? Like the same style as Pokemon Go. Well, let's face it, Harry Potter was an atrocious game. It was awful. I think I played
it. Yeah, and we never got to see, or I never saw anything about Transformers and how that was going to work. And Marvel was probably going to go along the same lines as NBA. And I saw a lot of people saying, like, NBA is a bit iffy in its concept.
I enjoyed NBA, but there wasn't a lot to it, to be honest, in my opinion. It was quite a boring game when you got out of the mini games.
I was going to say, what was your question, bro? Because I know that was
the question I was going to pose, and it was something actually I've just looked in the chat, and this is something that, what was it? I think Sue said.
Outsourcing again, are we mine?
Well, this is just a fact. So even on a down month for Pokemon Go, the app was averaging around 20 million per month in revenue, non-profit, before, I can't remember if that's before or after the remote raid nerf. But the question is, do you think that Niantic's mission, their statement, the way that they want to play their games, is their downfall? Because the remote raid pass and how Pokemon Go was during the pandemic brought it more towards a, I would say, a traditional mobile game. And now they've pulled it back to what they want their mission statement to be. And now they're in this up a certain creek without a paddle, I would almost say, in terms of this article.
Yeah. So the London gangsters, the Cray twins, right? There's a film called Legend with Tom Hardy,
I know it.
Right? And I hope all the listeners know this film. And there's a scene.
Very
right?
good movie.
Very, very good movie. And obviously, as you know, I love Tom Hardy. But there's this scene. Reggie comes out of prison, right? And before he went in, Ronnie had everything. The brothers, they had everything. They had all this money, all these clubs, everything. Reggie comes out of jail and Ronnie's messed it all up. His brother's completely messed it up. And there's this scene in the film and he's like, you had the world on a string and you've gone and, you know, beep, you've gone and effed it all up, right? That is genuinely how I feel about Niantic. I feel like with Niantic and Pokemon Go, they had the, in 2016, they had the world on a string. They had everything. They could have done so much and all they've done is literally shoot themselves in the foot time and time and time and time and time again. And as an outsider, I just don't understand that they can't see that. I don't understand what they want. Everything contradicts. One minute they're saying we want you out, then the next minute they're saying something else, then the next minute we want the game to be better, then the next minute we hear you, then the next minute they ignore us. Like, I really don't know like what's like. That's just to wrap it, I know that doesn't really answer your question, but for me, Milo, it's like they had the world on a string and I just want to be like, you've effed it all up. I don't know what else to say, bro. Like,
I think that's a good quote to parallel.
And whether we like it or not, like, one day, you know, not to be too cynical, one day we will open up social media and that this game that we love will have an end date, without a doubt, out of the blue, completely random. It will have, this game is closing on this date, and that's it, because they've just messed it up time and time and time and time again. And yeah, that's just my opinion. I know that didn't really answer your question, but that's just how I feel about them in general and this situation in general.
I've done a lot of listening. I've not got involved in this conversation because I think I've got a very different take on it. First thing I'd say is the reason there's a lot of issue over it is because that they've said at the top of their statement is that they want to make Pokemon Go the focus. That kind of then, when you draw that spotlight, you question why decisions like this are only good things for the game to succeed with communities and that. You kind of wonder why that seems to be the starting point, or certainly the headline bit. You know, what I would have expected them to have said, we're going to focus on Pokemon Go, and because of that, we've got rid of Michael Jordan from our team of in-game basketball people that we've got to try and push our NBA game, which has flunked. And we actually have messed it up with Harry Potter, that we've got rid of the 200 people that were probably working on the Marvel game in the background. That would have made more sense to me, certainly. The angle I'm coming at is, I personally think there's maybe a bigger play from the Pokemon company here. I think that actually they're probably putting some restrictions on Niantic and are probably saying to them that we actually want you to focus on this game. Now, I genuinely think that they're concerned if Niantic try and have their fingers in too many pies, they're going to screw this up. But also at the same time, I also think that the way that Niantic were making things very easily accessible in Pokemon, maybe that is not what Pokemon want either. And I think that some of this, it might come out, it might never come out. I think some of this is down to preserving the Pokemon brand. And I genuinely think that Niantic have probably been told there's only so much they can do. And they've got their own games they've developed, as we said. You've got Peridot, Pay to Play, Pikmin Bloom, great for fitness, isn't it? Yeah, people used to be fit.
I forgot about that. Yeah, Pikmin.
That's gone quiet.
The Pikmin community is quite hardcore, but it's a very sort of passive game.
It's Pikmin month this month. I saw that online. I guess if you follow Pikmin...
Yeah, I think Nintendo have got another Pikmin game coming out, haven't they? Yeah.
Yeah, all they'd be talking about is that. But I think, going back to the point, those games are Niantic's own. I generally believe that Pokemon Company are starting to just turn the screws down this. And I wouldn't even be surprised if Niantic have had to almost like renegotiate to keep the gamership rights maybe of the game. Again, that's just my take on it. I might be completely wrong.
Talk about the Pokemon Company. All I know when it comes to, you know, like the Worlds and stuff, you know, all these events they have all around America, the Sorry Boys, the GBL, but all the Go Battle League and the PvP tournaments. I know that the Pokemon Company is incredibly supportive with Go Battle League and PvP and Pokemon Go. Put a lot of money aside to help out for that. So all I will say, if that relationship's great, I'm sure the Pokemon Company with just Niantic in general about the whole game is also great. And that's only because I've spoke to a few PvP creators and I know that the Pokemon Company support these GBL a lot.
I think you're right, Coops. I think that TPC, the Pokemon Company, has a lot more influence over Go than we probably realise. I genuinely do.
And I think things like GBL, you know, and Worlds is a really great example. Because we were all there, weren't we, at Worlds in London, very lucky to be there. And you could see there was moments where game was letting down the competition, wasn't it? You could see the little glitch, and you could just see it, couldn't you? It was causing that little bit of, there's a lag in it. Do you know what I mean? Do you remember those moments when we're watching it, and there's just a couple of bits where it's just
still happening, whatever it was, the NAIC championship thingy that was going on very recently, that I saw on social media that major issues were happening with that. So it's still going on right now, past the midpoint of 2023. And you think GBL's been available for X amount of years and it's still riddled with the same bugs and glitches. There was a comment in here about doing less better, which is, I think, the right attitude. Whether it's put into practice is a completely different matter.
Well, going full circle to finish that conversation off, I think we can all agree from the four of us that our hearts go out to these 230 people that were made redundant.
Absolutely.
Just hope they all find something and have the best future, because it sucks. It really does suck, and they will be missed. I genuinely think all of these people will be missed. Certainly the people that contributed towards Pokemon Go, they will definitely be missed.
For sure. Real people. Yeah. As real people have lost their jobs, or what seems like a very short timeline. And we sort of, obviously, at live events, had interactions with some of the members of Niantic at the Pokemon Go level. It's difficult to see, and Koops did say, obviously, it does happen every day. I just think maybe because it's a very social game that it's put right in your face, and obviously we get reports. This was put on a Niantic's website and then publicized through media outlets and everything about this letter.
I think we can all agree. It kind of it hit me. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think even though it's really negative, I really do. I know I went on my little film rant, but I really do hope that this is the start of something new with them. There's been a lot going on this year, but we all love the game. We're all still here. We're all addicted, as we say.
We are all addicted. I said it last week.
Yeah, and I really hope, I'm really hoping that August is incredible. No, August is going to be incredible.
Let us just hope moving forward that Niantic don't forget about the community, because with the loss of a lot of community managers, let's just hope that they don't forget
that's the
about
big
the
worry.
Community.
I think that's what my film rant was about, saying you have this world and you're just slowly cutting it away. I think that's what I'm trying to say. You've got this community, you've got this money, and you're choosing to knock it away. That's it. Cut me out early. Just put that in.
No. But I think that was a good. It was a good analogy in a way. And I think that going back to my sort of question, that was quite rough. Is their direction? Is their goal? Whatever they set out for themselves.
Oh yeah, we didn't answer
three
that,
ideals.
Did we?
No, it was a really sort of loose question in a way. Is that going to be a huge negative? And I think in a way, actually, when you look at what Pokemon Go as a mobile game, fundamentally, it's a mobile game. It's not in the exercise or exploration, you know, hiking app segment. It's in mobile games. Yes, it has augmented reality. But even when you compare it to Peridot, it doesn't have anywhere near the AR capabilities that game does. Admittedly, it's a lot older. But if you're an AR company, I mean, at the moment, at the current time of recording this, beginning of July 2023, in AR mode, the Pokeball still goes invisible. And that's been a bug for months. You're an AR company. Sort the things out that you should be good at, theoretically, since you're in that space and you claim to be one of the best, or if not the best, in that space. And there are things with that. It's like, what does this mean for Niantic moving forwards? We remain long-term believers in augmented reality as the future form factor for computing. I just hope they don't let their blinkers on kind of, oh, we want augmented reality and working with AR and all of this to cause the death of something that's actually kind of a golden egg of a game.
Yeah, that's
in the mobile space.
It's my analogy. That's what I was guessing. We keep going back to it.
We're on the same page, dude. We're on the same page.
No, mate. And this is what I'm saying. With the drop of this game, the drop of, in their eyes, not from me, I'm not going to use the word unnecessary, but with the drop off of employees that they don't feel like they need taking the game forward.
Before you carry on, Koops, that's a good point. The games that they've dropped are all big IPs. I mean, the licenses that they would have to pay to Marvel, the licenses that they would have to pay to NBA, that is a huge saving. And all of the games that they've kept, Ingress is their own game, Pikmin Bloom, that's Nintendo, Peridot's their own game.
Yeah.
The licensing fees that they have to pay out are going to be massively reduced. So hopefully there's money to reinvest somewhere along the line to actually get these things where they really need to be.
No. Like I said, I really hope after the summer, Pokemon Go and Niantic can sort of rekindle their relationship, realign, maybe reevaluate some stuff, you know, really move the game forward. And like you said, focus on the AR. And what did you say? They've got a golden egg, Milo.
It's a golden egg of a game.
Yeah. They've got that. And just use that. I've said this for years. Just use that and focus on that, because you can take all my money. You can take all my money. If you make Pokemon Go good, I'll give you all my money. And we all feel the same. So don't try and do 48 different things at 48 different times. Just have one and make it incredible, and we will always be there to support you. And John Hankey, you'll always be able to go to the Bahamas. So it's a win-win, isn't it? It's a win-win.
It is a win-win if it would be like that, and I really hope it is.
That's what I'm saying. Let's moving forward. Let's see what happens.
Absolutely.
Let's just hope some good comes out of this.
Yes, yes.
There is only so long that we can talk about it. We could read through the entire article, we could dissect it, etc. But we've all sort of given our own opinion on how we feel about it. I was sort of with Ian. I was quite shocked to see that, you know, some of the community managers, or basically all of them, had been dropped from Pokemon Go and from Niantic. And it's sort of like, that's kind of worrying. But I do hope that moving forward, this almost sort of big shock means that they do invest into Pokemon Go. They do realize that maybe AR is not as a growing thing in the gaming space as they suspected. They did, despite having said they didn't do this, what was it, 2-3 months ago, they said, we're not overstretched, we're not overworking the team. And then they've said in this article, we want to do less but better.
They're going to have to now with the loss of that
well,
staff.
Well, yeah, a lot of us all have that mistrust with how they've handled Pokemon Go and also interacting with the community. And I've seen mobile games, you know, to name just one, Jurassic World Alive, they are so much better with the community and how they act with people and their customers on even a basic level. If something goes wrong, it's immediately notified in-game. We know about this bug. Don't write to us about it because we're fixing it. It will be here in this next patch, which is releasing here. Here is a bunch of stuff that actually is about $30 worth of stuff. The way that they handle interacting with their customers and things like that is on a completely different level to how Niantic act.
But the game itself is on a completely different level, isn't it? It's not.
It's almost the other way around to Pokemon Go. It's a mobile game with a bit of AR in it, whereas Niantic are trying to make an AR app with a bit of mobile
game. Well, they're not, because I never use AR on on Pokemon Go.
That's what I mean. Is they're focusing on AR, but they're not really focusing on AR and an AR game.
You know? But having said that, look at Peridot. The AR in Peridot is really good.
I know, and if it bring that to Pokemon Go, then it would be kind of justified.
Hey, yeah. Speaking of AR, do you think they've logged on to my Poffin scans yet?
I don't know. I've still seen some people saying they haven't got the scan AR quest, and some people have. It's again, a complete mess.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, we should move on.
I'm sound like a broken record tonight. Lovely discussion, boys. That was really good. But I am going to sound like a broken record because I think it's time for another game. Coops, do you want to introduce us to the second game tonight?
Not really, but...
Play your dicks right.
Welcome in to Play Your Dicks Right. Now, for this game, by the way, I hate you for putting me on two games, but with this game, I'm going to give the boys a Pokemon from the Pokédex, and I'm going to ask them, is it Pokédexy soon?
What is with our puns tonight, seriously?
And I'm going to give them a Pokemon, and I'm going to ask about another Pokemon. I'm going to say, is this Pokemon higher or lower than this one? When I say higher and lower, I don't mean on the screen, I mean the number in the dex. So we're going to start with Pogo Milo UK, then we're going to go to Ian Waterford, then we're going to go to Masterful 27. So Pogo Milo UK, is Lillipup higher or lower than Patrat?
I think Lillipup is lower than Patrat.
You, my friend, are incorrect.
Nice. Oh! This is going to go the same way as last week.
All right, Ian. So is Pansia higher or lower than Pansage?
Pansage is lower.
Fantastic work, mate. Well done.
Is lower than fire.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
It's looking at the typings.
Masterful 27. Is Throw higher or lower than Sork?
Throw is lower than Sork.
Milo, I'm sorry, mate. You are out. So we now move on to round two with Marky and Ian.
First one right in four rounds. That's what's good, isn't it, Ian?
Ian, is Zebstrika higher or lower than Gigalith?
Zebstrika is lower.
You're correct, my friend. Well done. Marky, is Jellicent higher or lower than Galvantula?
I want to say that Jellicent is lower.
We're moving on to round three. And we're also moving from Unova.
On the opposite to last week.
All right, boys, we're going to do a little bit of Galar, if that's okay.
Galar.
You're flaming Galar.
Flaming Galar.
So, Ian, is Dubwool higher or lower than Greedent?
I genuinely have zero idea when we're talking about this area of the decks, so I'm just going to guess higher. I've got no idea, though.
And you are spot on, my friend. That is right. And then Marky Boy, I know you love this one. Is Mr. Rhyme higher or lower than Sirfetch'd?
I want to say that Mr. Crime is higher.
We're moving on to round four.
Oh, my days.
Jeez.
Milo, pick a gen, bro. Pick a gen.
All right. Paldea. No, it's impossible. Let's go Sinnoh, gen 4.
Your wish is my command. Ian, is Finneon higher or lower than Carnivine?
It's higher.
You're bang on, mate. Well done. All right, Marky. Is Perugly higher or lower than Stun Tank?
I think Perugly's lower.
Moving on to round five.
Oh, my days. Complete U-turn from last week.
Seriously,
boys.
So much so.
I'm going to try and really trip you out.
Kanto.
Yep, I am. Ian.
Oh, my days.
Here we go.
Ian, is Dugong higher or lower than Dodrio?
Dugong is lower.
You're incorrect.
Mr. Pokemon Red.
Marky, is Seeking higher or lower than Starmie?
I think Seeking is higher.
You're also incorrect.
Boys. Oh, my God.
Are you not for real? Every generation you've got right in Kanto, you've got wrong.
Both of them.
I think we're burnt out. Yeah.
Round 42. Ian, is Execute higher or lower than Cubone?
Lower.
Correct. Marky, I asked you about Sirfetch'd. So, is Farfetch'd higher or lower than Dodrio?
Farfetch'd is higher.
You, my friend, are incorrect. We've got...
We have a winner.
We have a winner.
Jeez.
Double game.
Wow.
You won both games tonight.
Yes.
He's been upgraded to Lord Game.
Get a life.
Lord Game!
I suppose it's better than being called Game Lord.
Game Lord.
Oh, King Lord.
Well, that was fun. Thank you, Mr. Game. Game Lord, whatever your name is. We'll keep you off that for a little while longer now. But anywho, we're going to go back to part two of...
It is. It's the news.
We are, and, well... As you're listening to this, we will be in the midst of the Pokemon Go 7th year anniversary party. And As we predicted, it kind of is around that little watery type Pokemon.
Oh, you have no idea how disappointed I was that was true.
So we do have new Pokemon debuts in this event. We're going to get Wartortle wearing a party hat and Blastoise wearing a party hat.
It's the lightest sense of a Pokemon debut you could possibly have.
So, I mean, there's some good things in this event. So let's actually look at the good before we get into the not so good. So the event bonuses for this bad boy are increased chance of becoming lucky friends and an increased chance of Pokemon becoming lucky through trades. So if you're still sitting on any trades from Squirtle Community Day, this is the time to get your lucky... Plastoise with a party hat. or you could trade something else like Tortadata or Axew if you've still got some left.
I'm buzzing though to get lucky trades of people you can't use on. That's going to be good fun.
I want the lucky Blastoise.
So there are more event bonuses. So there is a chance of finding 77 or more Gimmigool coins when you spin a Pokestop with a Golden Lure on it. Can we drop your Golden Lures if you've got a Golden Lure party? That would be interesting to see if you actually do get copious amounts of Gimmigool coins. In addition to the above, each day of the 7th anniversary party will have its own unique bonuses. So, on July the 6th, you will have had double XP for catching Pokemon. On July the 7th, you will have had double Stardust for catching Pokemon. On July 8th, you will have had double Candy for catching Pokemon. And if you listen to this today on July the 9th, then you'll be getting... My least favourite, half egg hatch distance when eggs are placed in incubators on this day.
It's like half of my favourite books.
And a quarter of an egg hatch distance on community day, and then half of the rest of the day. Brilliant.
But other bonuses we can expect. July 10th, we're going to get friendship levels will increase twice as fast for July the 10th only. July the 11th, 2x candy for transferring Pokemon, so you can transfer all of your community day Pokemon then. And on July 12th, 2x XP for evolving your Pokemon. So wild encounters you can get during this event are, of course, Pokemon number 7, Squirtle wearing a party hat.
Pikachu wearing a cake hat. So good to see it back.
Meowth wearing no hat.
Ponyta wearing no accessories or hat.
And last, but certainly not least,
That's a lie.
The Todger is back. Todger. With Todgy.
Milo, you said this. Is it 777?
777 in the decks, yeah.
Todger. Why did they just release the shiny Todger for this?
The Todger. The Todger can't be shiny.
You're going to get no shiny Todger, but.
Seriously.
Or Pikachu wearing a Todger hat. Sorry.
Can we have that? A Todger hat? That'd be brilliant. Sup trainers might even encounter the following. It's not yeah. Lucky. Galarian Ponyta, no costume or accessories. And Absol, no costume or accessories.
Now, each of the following days will have specific spawns for them. So on July the 6th, you will have had Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle wearing party hats.
You will have had Chikorita, Cyndaquil, and Totodile all not wearing any costume whatsoever on July the 7th.
On July the 8th, you would have had Treecko, Torchic, and Mudkip, all of them just plain.
And as Ian said earlier, if you are listening to this episode today, if Blastoise and Squirtle aren't enough for you, you can capture Turtwig, Chimchar, and Piplups.
Which we're doing no community day. So July the 10th, we're going to be getting... Actually, do you want to do this one, Milo? They're your favourites.
I mean, they're not, but sure. You will be getting Snivy, Tepig, and Oshawott. All have a shiny potential, but all not wearing party hats.
Yeah, July the 11th, Chespin, Fennekin, and the so far unshiny Froakie. Future community day, that will be fixed.
And on July the 12th, you're going to have obviously none of shiny because they're not out yet. But yeah, Rowlet, Litten, and Popplio. But, you know, something which I'm really excited for, Marky. Come on, mate, take it away.
We're going to go on to one star raids. Bearing in mind, two of these are available in the wild. That's Pikachu wearing a cake hat and Squirtle wearing a party hat. Just don't do it, right?
Just say no.
The wild ones. Just say no. God. The other two, these are actually the wild looking at the infographic, but you can get Charmander or Bulbasaur wearing party hats that can be shiny and can be fully evolved. Although they can't, only Charmander can, can't it, Milo?
Yeah, Venusaur, wait for probably next
Squirtle,
year.
Squirtle yeah, can be as well get... now because of this event.
yeah, Squirtle. And Pikachu in like 6 years probably can get Raichu with a cake hat.
With a cake hat, yeah.
Well, the 3-star raids, they're like the plague. Stay away from them, seriously. Yeah, Magneton can't be shiny. Flareon can't be shiny. Celio.
What is that doing in there?
Can't be shiny. And the ones that can be shiny are Lapras and Snorlax. Don't waste your time.
And moving on, if you want to waste even more time, we've got some 5-star raids. We've got Articuno, Zapdos, and Moltres are back in raids. And the Mega Raids are going to be, obviously, Mega Blastoise. And all of those do have the potential to be shiny.
And none of them have party hats.
Not one.
So back to the good stuff. There's going to be field research task encounters, anniversary-themed field research task encounters, and completing them will... I can't even say it. Complete them to earn encounters with the first partner Pokemon such as Bulbasaur, Cyndaquil, Mudkip, and more. So some field research task encounters are going to award Mega Energy for Venusaur, Charizard, Blastoise, Sceptile, Blaziken, and Swampert. But you know what? If that isn't enough to keep you enticed, there's going to be some timed research. Yes, for $2 US, you can get a ticket for this. And completing the timed research will give you the following. So an incubator, a super incubator, a premium battle pass, a lucky egg, a rocket radar, a star piece, one incense, which you can drop, and 77,777 XP. But that's not all. You also get an encounter with Pikachu wearing a party hat. I did say party hat, not a cake hat. This is the Pikachu wearing a party hat. It is timed research, so it's going to be time locked. So if you do get this, ensure that you claim it and complete it before Wednesday the 12th at 8 p.m. local. Otherwise, you're just going to lose it and not going to get any of the good stuff.
Do you mind if I do this next bit?
You know what? I thought you might want to. Go for it, dude.
So, as an extra perk, and it starts good, and the further you read down, it becomes crushingly disappointing for most of us. So, You and Mew. For $5, all the equivalent pricing in your local currency, you'll be able to pick up the Masterwork Research Story, all in one, number 151. It's Shiny Mew in a paid research available to everybody, which is great. Much like the exclusive special research ticket, it will expire by 8 p.m. on July the 12th, your local time. Get the ticket bought before the event disappears.
Yeah, but once you have it, it will stay because it's not timed.
It will stick there, but you have to have bought it within the
and
event
logged
window.
Into the game, yes. Yeah, Coops.
Now, trainers who purchased or have previously purchased this Masterwork Research Story can also enjoy the following bonuses for the duration of our 7-year anniversary party event. 2x incense duration. Nice. We'll be doing... Well, actually, we won't be extending the podcast, don't worry. 2x daily adventure incense, so you can get more daily disappointment. And 2x lure duration. Now, this is where it comes crashing down around all of those who've done Kanto Tour. In little asterisks, in little text, always read the little text of these articles. Trainers who purchased a ticket for Pokemon Go Tour Kanto will not be able to purchase this Masterwork Research Story. So, if you got Shiny Mew already,
say, what
it's Kanto
basically
Tour,
saying, if you've got the Shiny Mew, you can't have it again.
That bit of the article is irrelevant to you.
Sad times.
That is basically it, isn't it?
I've got to say, for an anniversary event, I'm speechless and not in a good way.
Ian, what do you think of it in one sound effect?
There isn't being sick in your mouth sound effect yet.
You know what? I knew you were going to play that one.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good sound effect.
To be fair, though, I'm looking forward to the stickers. That'll be quite hype.
I thought you were looking forward to the avatar items, actually.
And that, yeah, comsa, you know, all of that.
I don't know about you boys, but when it's starter-focused events, I just so turned off from an event.
Yeah, it's painful. It's painful.
You waste resources catching these damn things. And when I saw it was, you know, effectively just moving one up the decks from what they did last year with Charmander with a party hat and Charizard, you're like, really? Are we here again? It just is very dull. Pokemon debut, costume, party hat, starters every single day.
I'm just going to say it. Why don't they just do something crazy? Like put Pikachu with a 7 balloon on or something. Do you know what I mean?
And the fresh costume Pikachu.
Yeah, I mean, like K-Cat. It's been there before. At least change the flipping costume. And what's the harm in dropping Shiny Todger for it? I don't get the problem with it. Just drop Shiny Todger for it. There's nothing, is there, to chase in that event.
No, I'll be honest, because obviously...
We're not editing any of this because none of us know what it's like.
I do agree with Milo, and I've always had this issue. Starter Pokemon focused events for me are tough. They're really tough to get excited for, especially when it takes 17 Golden Raspberry and 36 Ultra Balls to catch a 120 Turtwig. Like, I'm just not interested. But I will say, if you do need the XL candy for some of these megas, you've got specific days there to do a little bit of a grind on. And I'm not joking. I will try and play for an hour on the Mudkip day just to catch a few Mudkip, just to sort of maybe get a little bit of Swampert XL candy. But apart from that, I will see you guys next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday. Well, that was a lovely chat. He's going, and I'm leaving that in.
I'm sure, I was thinking deja vu. I'm sure we've heard that a few times tonight.
Yeah.
Well, anywho, that wraps up the news. So let's go to everybody's favourite section. That is...
Days of the Week.
So I'll jump in first for this one. I've got a very exciting one. So I've got Chicken Chaser 89 has said on Twitter, caught my 6th Galarian Articuno today. Traded one away. Wow. In brackets, at Pokemon Go app, hashtag Shiny of the Week, hashtag Shiny Pokemon. And then he's put, if at Incense Podcast features me on Shinies of the Week, I'll transfer one, with a laughing emoji. So I can see that he's best buddied one. So Chicken Chaser, we want you to transfer the one that you best buddied. How about that as karma?
That's a challenge accepted.
Yeah, no, mate, you ain't got to transfer any of them. You ain't got to do that. But yeah, GG's on your sick Articuno.
A very good catch rate on that one. I'm diving into our campfire community chat. Thank you very much to Kitty Rambles, who's posted in the hashtag Shinies of the Week channel. Listening to the new episode this morning at work and enjoying the increased spawn distance before I'm forced to update. But lol. And I got Sparkles, and it's a shiny Spritzy. Nice. I still very much need. Toit. Good shiny. Toit. Nice. Congrats, Kitty.
I had to read this one out, and I know Julie Glass featured in the past before the show. So it's sharing on behalf of my son, Angus. He didn't raid it at all, and he had one single research task for it. He is so jammy, and this is why I will not get a shiny one of these. But Milo, I'm going to cue your pronunciation. He got a shiny...
Tutunitor.
Oh, yeah, from a research task. And nice. It wasn't just a shiny one. It was a shiny 8 one. Ooh, nice. 15, 14, 50, 950 CP. He is jammy. And we like the fact that's been hashtag shiners of the week because that is pretty epic. GGs. So well done, Angus.
Nice.
Okay, so I'm going to round off shiners of the week. And I'm actually cheating. I've got two I'm going to go through. The first one is a WhatsApp shiners of the week from pen pal Simon. And the message goes, no voice message this week. But can I get a shout out for getting all three Galarian birds, please? I don't know when he got them. There's only a blue aura around the Articuno, but he has got all three of the birds. And Moltres is a 98%, and luckily the one I used my Master Ball on. What? So, jeez. You know what? Props to you for that one. Getting all three Galarian birds, yeah, I mean, that's an achievement.
Toit.
Toit indeed. Now, the next one is from our campfire, and it's from James Arcop 23. It's a bit of a message that goes along with it. DM to me. James Arcop 23 here. Can't seem to find the podcast group on Campfire. You're linking Spotify. Yes, a 5-star review has made Coops. Just sends me to the Apple Store, which would be helpful if I wasn't on Android. Anyway, would love to join the official Campfire group. If you're having the same problem, and a few people are, if you can find one of us on there by searching for us, just send us a DM. We can then send you an invite to the campfire. So if you are struggling to get on it, just message one of us and we can send you an invite to get on the campfire, except Coop, because I don't know if he's on campfire.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Here's my entry for hashtag shiny of the week. My first non-com day shiny in 7 months. And wow. We talked about it earlier. It was everywhere like a plague during the Dark Flames event. It was the shiny Vulpix. GG's, James.
Nice.
GG's, bro.
Congratulations.
GGs. Very nice.
Before we move on, boys, I just want to point something out. We may have lost the increased spawn radius, but you know something that isn't decreasing in radius?
No. No, the radius is very much 80 intact.
Meters.
Diameters.
Diameters.
So yeah, the question was, the boys have shared their least liked Pokemon design, least liked Pokemon, the reasons were design, evolution, logic, etc. Anyhow, which of these do you agree with the most? Please vote and do not retweet. 90 people vote, and we had 9 people retweeting, so well done.
No, nice.
They're learning not to retweet them.
So we had some great comments here. Sue Hermes didn't just put, Beware's hand stumps are kind of creepy, but I'm not sure anyone is worse than Mashana. San Schmosby the Tequila Man. My least liked Pokemon is Barbacle. Okay, so neither of them.
I can see that. Yeah, definitely.
Big Bear N says, there's people that hate Stoutland. I never liked it, but didn't dislike it. Kelvin McRae has put, what's everyone's problem with Mashana? Poor fetus drowsy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Thomas has put, how can you all be hating on Stoutland? He's the best doggo in Pokemon. And there's a gif with Litten riding the mighty Stoutland flying really? In the air, which is, yeah.
Oh, goodness me.
McFloofy's put Glalie. Its teeth really freak me out.
Oh, yeah, fair.
Oh, yeah, true.
It's a cool design, though. It's a cool design.
I quite like the design.
It is.
One.
Yeah, so you're wrong.
Highbone Pineapple has put, what even is Mashana? Just some weird floating ball. Hang on, there's 4 options there. Is this the first 4-man podcast this year?
Yeah. Amazing.
I'm going to read a couple Possibly. More. Lee Bancroft's put, how does Larvitar, cool little dino-looking Montipupiter, then back to a cool-looking dino Pokemon? It's definitely a disappointment. And then someone's put Dunsparce. What is the point of that Pokemon? It's
I
not
agree.
Attractive. Has no future evolution.
It actually, it
someone's
does.
2-year-old must have drawn
actually,
it. It does. And it added da as dun. A filler
mod. It does. Ooh, Dunsparce. Sorry, it does.
Just wait for Paldea. Don't worry. It becomes a segmented, weird thing. It's great.
But boys,
just what
good
we
news.
Need. What?
Dunsparce is really good in the Great League of Go Battle League.
Moving on. So the results are
Why
as follows.
Why are your panties in such a twist?
In 4th place, it does have evil-looking stubby paws, and it does look like a tablet pill. And I ended up voting for it as well, actually, because I agree, Ian, it's weird. Beware with 6% of the vote.
Ooh. Yeah. So my winning is over for the night then.
Cupidus come third with 13% of the vote. Stoutland actually comes second with 20.
Wow.
There's a lot of people saying, what's the shade on Stoutland? But 22% of people.
See that?
And the least liked Pokemon on our poll, I think because it does look like a placenta. It just looks weird, a placenta. It's Bishana with 59% of the vote.
I did think that. I did say that. I did think you'd win it. Well done, mate. GG's.
Well done. Thank you so much for that poll voting, people. We appreciate it. I've lost my trail of thought, as you've probably gathered. That is it, boys and girls. We finished another episode. That is 126. What do we say, in the can? Is that the terminology? Yeah.
In the can.
We need more 5-star reviews, obviously. So please, if you have enjoyed the podcast, or even if you haven't enjoyed it, you're never going to listen to it again, leave a 5-star review.
Speaking of reviews, we actually got a 5-star review on Apple on Monday from Bishop MRK1, and they say, 5-star review, being a Pokemon Go player since day one, and this has quickly become my go-to Pokemon Go podcast. Loving the camaraderie and banter between the hosts. Always entertaining and always a good listener.
Aww.
Thank you.
Cheers.
That's lovely that someone's taken the time to do that. And we will bully Coops on a more regular basis for that camaraderie. Is it camaraderie? You can find the podcast on all good platforms, like we said, Apple, Google, Spotify, and many more. Please also follow us on our social medias on Twitter, Instagram, Campfire, and YouTube.
Yeah, if we can get to 500, we can actually do more with the community tab on there. So please subscribe to us on YouTube, even though we don't put much video content up there currently.
We might have some challenges that might be featured on there on up-and-coming events. Or our handle is @IncensePodcast, and that will allow you to keep up to date with all the latest stuff. As we said before, please use our world-famous hashtag Shiners of the Week on Twitter if you want to, not just Twitter, I should say, on all of those social platforms if you have to have a chance of being featured in the Shiners of the Week.
Could you clarify
section.
That spelling?
I can do Holly again. Shiniesofthweek. Now, we'd also like to take this opportunity to thank our amazing Patreon members. It means so much to us, and a big thank you goes out to all our bronze and silver Patreon members. We do also like to give a shout out to our gold Patreon members. Your support really does allow us to take the podcast to the next level. As we've said before, and as you've heard before in previous episodes, a lot of production goes into making the podcast sound as crisp and clear as it does sound for you. And our gold Patreon members are Hermes Ninja, JB, Clifford Mert, Darby Russ, Kerry and Zachary, Connolly, ML Folk 2022, Apex 171, Professor 58, Kate Technogal, Mufti and Barside 2. Really do appreciate it, and we mean it when we say that. Your support really does allow us to do what we do, and we do appreciate it so very, very much.
But boys, good news.
What?
The GoFest live events. We can announce that we are dropping the final of the in-person GoFest designs. This time it is New York's design. Fabulous. Merch design now available on both the EU UK store and our US/Oceania shop as well, which you can find linked on our link tree in the description.
Awesome design.
Great design.
Designed by an Italian in England for Americans. Brilliant.
It's like the Apple thing, isn't it? Designed in England, printed in Germany. Well, it's just for the UK,
but
EU.
If you grab a merch design off of our store, do tag us when it arrives, or even if you've just ordered it, we'd love to see it. And hopefully we see some of them in New York for the actual GoFest, which would be fantastic.
But boys, more good news.
What?
Not only is Dunsparce amazing for Great League, but this coming Tuesday on the 11th, it's going to be Whalmer Spotlight Hour.
Wow. Well. It's a good job they've reduced the radius spawn in the game, isn't it? That would have been a bit...
To see your three on the screen. Spotlight Hour.
Yeah.
And on that terrible disappointment, we will see you next week.